Hi, this is Jim Burke, and I am taking my obsession for baseball card collecting on John Garrett's Green Apple Podcast today.
Hello, this is John Garrett, and welcome to episode 143 of the Green Apple Podcast, where each Wednesday I interview a professional who, just like me, is known for a hobby or a passion or an interest outside of work, making them stand out like a green apple in a stereotypically boring red apple world. And I'm always so fascinated at how we usually try to stand out with our technical expertise. And I'm here to shine a light each week on someone who understands that this expertise isn't always earned in degrees and certifications, but sometimes it's experiences from our passion outside of work that make us better at our job. And this week we'll hear how that passion can easily be transferred into your work and make you so much better and stand out in your career. And really quickly, I'm doing some research. It's a super short, 1 minute, totally anonymous survey about corporate culture and how the Green Apple message might apply in your world. So if you've got just 60 seconds, please head to greenapplepodcast.com, click the big green button there, answer a few quick questions. Again, it's totally anonymous, and I really appreciate the help as I do some research for the book I'm releasing later this year. And thanks so much to everyone for subscribing to the show so you don't miss any of the cool guests like this week's Jim Burke. He's the technology niche practice leader at Witham and a regular speaker at many conferences all over the world. And I know you're super busy, Jim, so thanks so much for taking time to be with me today on the Green Apple Podcast.
John, I am so happy to be with you today. I listen to your podcast all the time, and I am mesmerized by the people, the thought leaders that you bring on your podcast, man. Absolutely. So I consider it a privilege to be with you today.
Sweet. Well, ditto, man. We're both privileged. So thank you, man. Like, I appreciate it. And so I gave everyone a little bit of an introduction, but maybe in your own words, kind of what you're up to now professionally and maybe a little bit of how you got there.
Yeah, sure, man. So I'm a partner at Witham, and Witham, large regional firm, 1,200 employees, 17 offices.
Sure.
I've been with Witham since day one, interned literally out of school as soon as I graduated, and been here ever since. So I started as a generalist. I did audits. I did tax work. I did bookkeeping. I did payroll returns, sales tax returns, tax returns. I did freaking everything, man.
And wow.
So I've had an opportunity to see, you know, all different aspects of a firm. And today, yeah, super passionate about technology. I oversee internal technology at my firm, so responsible for making sure all of our staff have the latest and greatest technologies, as well as exposure to, you know, what are the technologies on the horizon. And then in my other real job, I'm managing director for advisory services for Witham. And we are all in on advisory services. We believe that the profession is changing, and double-digit growth in the areas of attest and tax are over. And we are believers that advisory, a firm offering advisory services, is a firm that's going to remain totally relevant way into the future, man. So that's the kind of stuff I preach around the globe about technology, how it's playing a role in firms offering advisory services today.
Yeah, man, that's fantastic. And look at you, all the way from intern all the way up. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, man. It's just, well, you know what? It's funny because our profession is one of the few where you can start as a nobody, you know, getting coffee for people and crap like that, and become an owner of a firm, become a material shareholder in a firm. I mean,
right.
How many industries offer that opportunity? So I would challenge every kid out of school. I mean, I know you got a lot of college kids listening to this and young staff. Look, you have so much potential. All you need to do is one thing. You have to differentiate yourself from everyone else in the firm. Find something that is yours, make it your own, and take it to the next level.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. That's a really good takeaway right away right there. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, does that differentiator necessarily have to be work-related, or could it be something else?
Yeah, it could be work-related, differentiate. But you know what? If you find something in your personal life, you need to identify something in your personal life that you're super, super, super passionate about, take that to the next level, and it's just going to happen. You'll be so passionate about that, that will ooze into your professional life. And that will help you to identify something that you can call your own in your firm, whether it's vertical, whether it's you doing something totally unique in the profession. I'm telling you, personal life and your success stories there, your passions there, have 110% to do with your success in your professional life.
Yeah, man. No, I agree totally. So I appreciate that.
Why do you think it is that most people don't want to share those successes outside of work, those things that seem to be nothing to do with accounting?
You know what? I think it's they're embarrassed. I mean, I have no problem telling people, you know, what drives my passion. I recall listening to a podcast that you had not too long ago with my partner, Tony Nitti, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tony, as you know, Tony loves mountain biking, right? Tony has a super passion for that stuff. He brings that into everything he does. And he talks about, he relates it to tax, he relates it to his passion. And really, you see that in his professional life. And quite frankly, I would argue that that's probably why he's been so successful in his professional life, because of his passions outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that energy and I mean, people are alive when they're talking about it and when they're thinking about it, and that energy you have, you can bring to work in unique ways. And absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the deal. So it's not the Mountain Dew. It's not the energy drinks. It's someone that has that pure passion. It's going to happen without all that artificial stuff, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're actually alive. Like, and you feel it for sure. I mean, I've walked into some firms and I'm like, wow, I can't believe anyone comes here voluntarily. I mean, there's just no oxygen in the air. I mean, I don't even think there's any color. It was all black and white. It was just painful. Right. As soon as I stepped off the elevator, I was like, oh, wow, this is not good. This is not good. And it doesn't have to be like that. Yeah, that's what's so crazy, is it really doesn't have to.
Correct.
Yeah. So before we get into your excitement, I love to ask everyone, just how did you get into accounting? What made you want to get into that? Because I mean, after meeting you, it's like, you're clearly not what people would think of as the stereotype.
Yeah. So I grew up in a town in New Jersey called Sarrabville, New Jersey. And so I went to high school with John Bon Jovi, right?
Oh, nice.
So what drove me out of that town into my accounting profession, I will tell you, was my high school accounting professor, my high school accounting teacher.
Yeah.
He was a CPA, and he actually made it sound like it would be fun for me to be involved in the accounting profession. He brought in real life examples of what you do in the accounting profession. And it, quite frankly, it seemed like fun. It seemed like this is some place that I wanted. He never focused on the books. But you know what? At the end of each semester, at the end of each year, I got so much out of it. I totally understood everything that he was communicating, because he used stories. And I love that. I love storytellers, man. I love listening to storytellers, because they get the message across and they have that sense of reality with it. So it was my high school accounting professor that actually was responsible for getting me engaged in the accounting profession.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Good for him. Yeah, because I mean, the brochures don't always make it seem that fun.
But
real life stories and examples, and this is what it's really like.
Yeah.
And there's an unlimited number of things you can do with an accounting degree, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can go everywhere, because as long as you understand the numbers, everybody wants to talk to you.
You're right, Dan. So the foundation is priceless. You get that foundation, you get that under your belt. And I tell everyone, you know what? You'll never be in need of a job. You'll always have something, because you'll have that financial foundation that you literally can take to the next level and do anything with.
Right. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So when you're not jumping all over the world speaking or being the managing director of the advisory services at Withum, what kind of hobbies, passions, interests outside of work do you love to do?
So I'll tell you, probably number one is baseball. I am a huge baseball fan. So for example, my son, as he was growing up, I always coached him in baseball. I managed his baseball as he went from minors to majors and all the way up.
Yeah.
And so huge passion. So we basically took that, and my son and I, historically, we have gone to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game every year. We go to Home Run Derby every year. We like baseball in general. Do I have certain teams I like? Sure. I'm a Yankee fan by heart. Yeah. My dad had season tickets when I was a kid, and I grew up in that environment in the Bronx that we would always go to the games. But, you know, I have no problem going to a Red Sox game or going to a Mets game or going to see a Dodgers or, you know, anyone, because we have that passion for baseball. So my son and I, we've taken that to the next level. And I'm sort of like type A kind of guy. Just whatever I do, I got to do like 110%.
Right.
So basically, I have a huge obsession with baseball cards.
Okay.
I will tell you today, I have every single Tufts regular season baseball card ever issued. since 1952, except for one card, card number 311 from 1952. It is Mickey Mantle's rookie card.
Oh, wow.
I blame my wife for not having that card because she won't let me buy it. All my kids are out of college because the cost of the card is so outrageous. So
right.
I'll tell you, I got a number of years to go yet before I'm going to be able to buy that because my youngest is not even in college yet.
Right.
But when she's out, man, the very first freaking thing I'm going to buy is going to be that card.
That's fantastic, man. Every single Tops. I mean, wow.
Every single. Yeah. It's wild, man. I just love them. I love opening up like 1968, 1961, 1956 and going through the cards and seeing like these heroes from
right.
years past. Everyone from Mickey Mantle to, I mean, you go through the cards to
yes.
see so many heroes and guys that people talk about today. So that's the passion I have. And I keep up on that collection every single year. I make it a point to get all the cards. I make it a point to get all the short print cards. So, you know, I've amassed a massive collection
yes.
just by default. As a kid, I started collecting baseball cards and, you know, buying the packs of gum. And I think
right.
I rotted my teeth out with all the gum
right.
that I used to buy in those the cards. And so today I'll buy the cards without the gum. And it's all good, but I've completed collections, literally full collections, starting with 1951. They have blue backs and red backs. I got all of those cards and then literally everything through working on my 2018 collection as we speak.
That's fantastic, man. That's really cool. I think I have a Gil Hodges Brooklyn Dodgers Hops card from back in
there
the
60s. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I mean, I collected as a kid and I mean, kind of stopped. But is Topps the oldest baseball card company?
Well, it's not the oldest, but is the one that has survived the longest.
Okay. All right.
You know, you heard about Bowman and things like that.
Right. Cause Bowman came back for a little bit.
Yes, they did.
Yeah,
they were around longer and they started before but Topps is pretty much sets the standards. Topps is, you know, activity on Topps is like from 1951 to present. So that's why I focused on Topps. They were headquartered out of New York City. And so I felt okay, close to home, they're around. So again, I like the cards. I like the offerings. I like the unique things they do with signature cards and, and prints with pieces of jerseys and things like that. So I've amassed a decent collection, let's say.
That's fantastic, man. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So is there a cooler memory maybe from one of the All-Star games or a game that you went to growing up or something, just baseball related?
Well, I got to tell you, just the experience, man. So the experience of going to see the Yankees as a kid, I was overwhelmed.
Right.
I mean, my dad would take me on that day. And back then, they had real bats,
right.
you know, and so you'd walk home from a Yankee game. I mean, today, try getting on a subway with a baseball bat.
Right,
you'd probably get arrested
right.
signed. I mean, so you get the bat when you walked into the game. It was a real bat, real full-size bat. You go down and you have the players signing the bat. It was freaking awesome. So those are the memories that I grew up on, and that's how I think I got this initial obsession with baseball. And I played that obsession out into the whole card.
Yeah, man. No, that's great. That's really, really cool. Yeah. I mean, I think that, yeah, growing up, our parents certainly, you know, what they're excited about, I think we inherently get excited about too. You know, that's how, I mean, I got crazy about college football.
Absolutely.
You know, I was just watching it with my dad and all that. So,
yeah.
I mean, I love baseball too, but yeah, it's, that's really cool,
yeah.
man. That's really awesome.
I think what happens, man, is that the reason why it oozes into your family is because if your kids look up to you for what you're passionate about and they sort of embrace it, they become passionate about the same things. They get it. And, you know, a perfect example. So
right.
I was just at the Engage conference in Vegas from the AICPA. And so Tony Hawk came in and spoke. It was a keynote for us.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we all know, I know Tony Hawk. Tony
right.
Hawk today is 50 years old. And, you know, yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, think about, yeah, exactly. That hit home for me. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
So picture him on a skateboard, man. So but I remember years ago, he led skateboard. He was in skateboarding. Before skateboarding was cool, you know, he gave the analogy back then you had the jocks at the top of the ladder. You had the next tier were like the geeks and nerds and stuff like that.
Right.
At the very bottom of the food chain were the skaters. Everyone thought all the skaters were good for was just getting up late, just doing nothing, right, smoking weed all day. That's what they, that's the impression of skaters. And then, you know, think about what happened. Skating has taken a whole new, you know, possibly in the Olympics and everything. So skating is cool. Skating is setting the example. And, you know, he took his passion for skating all the way to the next level and kept it. And what I learned, which is something I did not know, he has a son who's in his 20s nice. That is as passionate about skating as he is, and he followed in his father's footsteps. So, again, the point I'm trying to make is if your passion shows through, that follows through to your family, and then probably the next step into your professional world.
Right, right. No, absolutely, especially if it's genuine. I mean, because, you know, that's who you yes. really, really are. I mean, your time is
yes.
time is fleeting, and it's a resource we can't have more of. So whatever you're using your free time to do is probably who you really are. Because, I mean, that's what you can choose yes. to do. And so, you know, if you can tap into that, yes. yeah, I mean, absolutely. And so is this something that you feel like the baseball passion has translated into work at all?
It has. And it's a sickness, man. Here's the problem. Okay. I'll be honest with you. It's an obsession. I am obsessive. Okay. So yeah. I take that obsession about baseball, an obsession about baseball card collecting, into everything I do. So my other obsession is technology. As a kid, you know, as soon as I got my hands on the first, oh man, I think it was a Radio Shack Tandy TRS-80. That was the first real computer that I had.
Okay, okay.
And when I had that guy, man, I was writing games. I was developing action games. And I swear to God, if I wasn't an accountant today, I know I would have been a programmer. I probably would have been, you know, mega wealthy.
Right.
Because I would have created these massive games that yeah. really would have taken gaming to the next level, because I would have taken my passion there. But so that's my other passion, was technology. So I literally grabbed those passions and I brought it into what I did. And when I first started in the profession, we had zero technology, zero.
Right, right.
So, I had this freaking canvas to work with that was a blank canvas.
Yeah.
So I remember finding ways to deploy technology into everything that we did in the firm. And even today, still taking that same passion with technology, looking at all those cool new things with artificial intelligence, machine learning, blockchain, all of that, and how determining how that is going to impact the firm in the future.
Yeah, man. No, that I agree. And is baseball something that you talk about with coworkers at times or clients?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes. So I use that analogy all the time. I talk about baseball card collecting, my obsession there. I try to relate the two. It just really comes down to passion.
Yeah.
You know, when I speak at conferences and with coworkers, they get it. They understand my passion. I don't even have to say yeah. it. I think it comes through in your actions. I swear to God, every place I go, they say, wow, man, you can tell you're really super passionate about this stuff. And I am, because I'm super passionate about how technology will continue and always play a role in changing our profession.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it, man. I love it. And I guess one thing is the baseball and the baseball card collecting and stuff something that you talked about even early on in your career?
No, you know what? It wasn't. You know, I think growing up in a CPA firm, we're very formal. We like to focus on the stuff, that traditional way of growing business, which is going out, meeting a lot of people for dinners and breakfast and lunch and,
right.
you know, a lot of events and golf outings and stuff like that. And I did that early in my career. I golfed a lot. I did a lot of those events because those were the things that I was told you needed to do to bring in business.
Right.
And, you know, you basically followed in the footsteps of the guys before me who were all members of country clubs, and they did all that kind of stuff, which is great. And to this day, they're still members of the clubs and they're still doing that type of stuff that they grew up on. But I sort of faded away from that. And I said, you know what? I want to differentiate myself. I need to, you know, I know I can bring in business, but I need to do it my own way. So the way that I do it is I said, you know what, I'm passionate about this. Let me be a thought leader. My goal was to become a thought leader in the profession around the technology space. And once you become a thought leader, I've read lots of books that once you become a thought leader,
right.
you don't have to look for business. Business will find you. And I will tell you hands down, that definitely happens. I speak at conferences today around the globe, and people come up to me, CEOs from firms come up to me and say, hey, Jim, could you come into my firm at a partner retreat? Could you facilitate our partner retreat?
Yeah.
Could you please talk to my partners, because they don't get it. We're all on different ships here. I got to get everybody on the same bus because we got to move ahead. And I'm just having difficulty doing that.
Right.
So So that's how I develop business today. I'm not doing it at golf weddings. I'm not doing it at all those events, those traditional events. I do it my own way. I do it through thought leadership, and I do it just by showing people how passionate I am about this whole space.
Yeah. And then you come across somebody that also collects baseball cards and whammy, you know, yeah. It's like magic.
Yeah. So exactly. And that's a curveball, man. So, you know, yeah, there you go. Thing, but it's a curveball because they don't expect that. They don't expect an accountant to be super passionate about doing stuff outside of the profession. They think, hey, my accountant eats, sleeps, and drinks tax returns. My accountant sleeps and drinks audited financial statements. Well, I'm doing this stuff outside the profession. And you know what? That's okay, because that helps to make for such an engaging professional that's passionate about, you know, the technology space.
Yeah, man. I love it. That's fantastic. And I guess one question that I like to ponder on is, how much is it on the organization to create the culture where it's okay to share these passions and interests versus how much is it on the individual to just step up and share, maybe even within a small circle?
Yep. So it is equally shared. Look, I would not be with my firm today. I'm with Witham over 30 years, right? So Witham has been an absolutely amazing culture, an amazing place to be, an amazing place for me to grow as a professional. I mean, not only did I become a partner at Witham in a short amount of time, today I sit on the executive committee of the firm. So we make the decisions, the high level decisions about, you know, mergers and growth and the future of the firm.
Yeah.
The firm, you know, encourages us to develop our professional and personal lives, and the firm is 110% supportive of that. So I became president of the New Jersey Society of CPAs. The firm said, go for it, because it's going to be good for you as a professional. It's going to be good for the firm. The firm gets the visibility in the space. My firm has allowed me to take my passion for technology to the next level with the AICPA, with state societies, taking my show on the road and visiting various countries to talk with international groups about technology and advisory services. So the firm realizes, Witham gets it. The firm realizes that, yeah, hey, if this guy is so passionate about this area, we're going to support him 110%. So if it's good for him, it's good for the firm, because he's going to bring in business and surround himself with these clients that we would never have had before. Yeah. So that's, I think, what makes Witham so unique, is that, you know, besides the firm, you know, the whole profession knows that we're out there cutting these videos every year. And I'm sure you've probably seen our flash mob videos and stuff.
Right, flash mob videos. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's something that's unique to us. We love it. We love doing that type of stuff, because we get everyone from, you know, the receptionist all the way up to our CEO. They all take participatory action with respect to our video. So it's part of our culture, man.
Yeah.
It's just that the firm embraces it. We're not all talk. It's not like you sit down with one of my partners in an interview and yes, we're great, we do this, we do that. We really put our money where our mouth is, and our professionals know that we have a great culture.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Is there anything from your level that you do specifically to get to know the coworkers or the people working under you?
Oh, yeah. So what I do is I try to give them like an amazing experience. Like, my philosophy internally at Witham is work hard, play hard. And everywhere I go, when I bring staff with me, if we're going on the road to visit with a client, I will couple up a business experience with a really cool, fun experience. So, for example, we got this nice client down in Texas, and we'll work long hours, man. We'll spend, you know, 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning till maybe 7 o'clock at night. We got a 12-hour day. We do a couple days like that back to back. And the way I wrap it up is, you know, this client in Texas, we love going shooting with the client. The CEO of the client has a massive collection and of guns. And I take the staff and we go and we shoot, and they have an amazing time. So, you know, it's doing things outside the box like that. I take clients and staff to events. I love baseball. So my Witham has baseball tickets. We have season tickets to see the Yankees. But what I'll do, instead of just going to see the Yankees to one of the season games, I'll give the client a memorable experience. We'll get like front row tickets right next to the dugout. We'll get pictures. You know, a few years ago, we're getting pictures with Derek Jeter and Mariano. And it's just, you know, it's really awesome stuff when you give them just an unbelievable experience. So that's what I'll do. No matter, again, it's every single time I travel with staff. We couple it up with something special that we do for the staff. Every single time that we go on a long trip with the staff where I ask them to work massive amounts of hours, I give something back to them. I show them how fun it could be.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, it shows that you care. I mean, you have a genuine interest in them, and you're like, hey, I know you guys have been, you know, working really hard. Yeah. So here's something cool and fun to go do. And, you know, let's get out of the office. Let's get to know each other. Let's relax a little. Yeah.
Yes. Every single time, because I want to do things that will help to keep them engaged. So I take them under my wing and I mentor many of them. And I've mentored a number of our staff all the way to the level of partner. And I think hopefully I made them a little bit better, and I have them see the other side that, you know, in life, family and your personal life has to be number one. And if that is number one, then your work life, that is going to simply follow, and you're going to be so freaking happy and so engaged at work if you have a happy home life.
Yeah, no, I love it, man. This has been fantastic. Really, really fantastic and really cool. And who knew? Every Topps card except for one, but you'll get it soon enough. Yeah, so I have 17 rapid fire questions to run you through, kind of a get to know Jim a little better before I fly out to New York and we go to a Yankees game and sit front row by the dugout and get some pictures of, I mean, because that's really roughing it, you know, so I got to make sure that we can hang out together. But so let me fire this thing up, run you through these 17 questions. Okay, here we go. I'll start you with an easy one. Favorite color?
Favorite color is blue.
Blue. All right. How about a least favorite color?
Least favorite color is probably purple.
Purple. Interesting. All right. How about, do you have a favorite movie of all time?
Favorite movie of all time is Star Wars, man.
How about pens or pencils?
Definitely pens.
Pens. All right. How about a Sudoku or a crossword puzzle?
Crossword puzzle, man. Crossword puzzle.
There you go. All right. How about, do you have a least favorite vegetable?
Least favorite vegetable has to be spinach. I really hate freaking spinach.
Wow. All right. And you look like kind of a Popeye kind of guy. How about when it comes to computers, more PC or Mac?
Look, I love Mac, man. So I hope Mac really rules the world someday.
Right. How about, do you have a favorite ice cream flavor?
Ice cream is, I just had it on Sunday night. It was chocolate and peanut butter mixed together, man.
Oh, nice. That's a good answer. That's a solid answer. Solid answer. How about more cats or dogs?
More dogs, man. Cats really bother me.
Right. There you go. How about, do you have a favorite cereal?
Favorite cereal has to be Cocoa Puffs.
All right. How about when it comes to toilet paper roll, over or under?
Definitely under, man. Definitely under.
Under. All right. All right. How about, as an accountant, I have to ask, do you have a favorite number?
My favorite number happens to be 7. Not that it's lucky. It's just, it's a great number. I love the number 7.
Yeah, that's a really popular answer. That's for sure. That's a very popular answer. Okay. When it comes to accounting, more balance sheet or income statement?
To me, it's about the income statement, man.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. How about a favorite place you've been on vacation?
Oh, favorite place on vacation, hands down, is Bora Bora.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I've never been, but I've heard it's fantastic. Three more. Do you have a favorite actor or actress?
Favorite actor or actress? That's a tough one, man. I love George Clooney.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Are you more early bird or night owl?
Oh, my God. I am an early bird, man. I start my workouts at 5 a.m. in the morning, so I am up day at 4:30. Yeah, I am a vegetable at night, man.
Good for you. Good for you. Last one, the favorite thing you have or the favorite thing you own?
A favorite thing I own is something I don't own yet, which is Mickey Mantle's 1952 card number 311. It is my favorite thing that I want so bad. So yes, I know it will be my favorite thing once I get it in my hands.
That's the perfect answer. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking time to be with me on the Green Apple Podcast.
Sure, John, man. I had so much fun with you today, man. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
That was really, really great. I just loved how Jim said, find something that's yours and take it to the next level. As Seth Godin mentioned in his book, Purple Cow, if you aren't standing out, then you're invisible. And I know that everyone listening to this podcast isn't destined to be invisible, but to actually make a difference and be remembered. So as Jim said, find something that you're passionate about and then take that to the next level. And if you'd like to connect with Jim on social media, be sure to go to greenapplepodcast.com. And while you're on the page, please click that big green button and do the anonymous research survey about corporate culture. So thanks again for subscribing to the show and for sharing this with your friends so they get the message that we're all trying to spread, which is to go out and be a green apple.